Now, you remember Jocelyn Gonzalez, who used to work here at the show.
I do.
Who once interviewed you, actually.
Father's Day.
Indeed. She teaches at NYU, and she went to talk to a bunch of her female undergraduate students about the female characters that shaped them as girls and now as student filmmakers.
I hear you. Come on, get up, you say. Time to start another day. Even he orders me around. Well, there's one thing. They can't order me to stop dreaming. And perhaps someday.
I just wanted to be like her. And I remember I sang her songs and pretend to clean the house. I would just emulate her. Oh my God, she is so perfect and pretty. And I don't understand why she gets treated so badly, you know?
Masuma Abbas is a 19-year-old filmmaker. She was raised on a steady diet of Disney and Bollywood and used to be obsessed with Cinderella.
But I would expect her to rebel. I almost wondered, even when as a kid, like, why doesn't she just leave or just not take it anymore, you know? I found that very weird.
The idea that Cinderella can't help herself and needs Prince Charming to lift her out of servitude really wears thin once you grow up. Reality demands more than a rescue fantasy, and a gal needs more potent images at the cinema.
The first girls I started identifying with are the women in Hitchcock films. They're like powerful, incredible women who get in these incredible situations and are very much pivotal in what happens in the narrative.
Cheryl Antonio is a dean at the Maurice Kanbar Institute of Film and TV at NYU. She's written books and articles exploring images of women and African Americans in the movies.
And it's funny because if you see me, I don't look anything like these women. I mean, I'm a black woman. I'm a good, decent size. Women in general have had to identify with people outside of their gender, outside of their ethnic context, outside of their economic context, and I think have to find themselves in very different looking places in the movies than they do in the mirror.
Oh, God, it was all that, like, classic Hollywood heroine. Just the damsel in distress. She needs a man around all the time.
They get married.
They got married, and it was a happily ever after white picket fence. That was it.
Or it's Jezebel.
Whore.
Yeah, well, that's whore. Exactly it. It's the Madonna whore complex.
Yeah. Spinster.
Hey.
Woo.
Patricia Gillespie and Dania Alfonso scoff at the saint, slut, or spinster roles they've seen at the movies. These young women are budding directors, and they gravitated to male characters like James Dean or Robin Hood, even Laurel and Hardy.
I think, like, far more young women are having gender identity issues. Not that they want to be men, like, physically, but just that concept of masculinity and femininity is so, like, woman is very this way and man is very that way, and, you know.
Images of women can fall into rigid archetypes. But Cheryl Antonio says there are some deeper examples, like the pillar of virtue type played by Helen Mirren in the movie The Queen.
In favor of a period of restrained grief and sober private mourning. That's the way we do things in this country. Quietly, with dignity.
I liked her, and I think in her lonely, virtuous, stoic life, she was sympathetic and empathetic and heroic.
What about the perfect mom or the nurturing surrogate?
Sadly, and I hate to use the word, that's the mammy character. So what I would look for is that character that embodies those traits but does not have that racial, physical imprisonment of a mammy character. So, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Mrs. Doubtfire.
And what about the femme fatale?
For me, it was Body Heat.
Won't you get me a paper towel or something? Dip it in some cold water.
Right away. I'll even wipe it off for you.
You don't want to lick it?
Women's sexual powers have always been seen as dangerous. To use that as an instrument of war or an instrument of preservation or an instrument of protection or an instrument, you know, is fine. I mean, I think it's a reality that women do use that.
Don't you just love it?
Love what?
Tiffany's.
I hate to bash the movie, but Breakfast at Tiffany's, I feel like that's like the origination of the, I can talk back to you, but at the end of the day, I still want things, and I'm still going to use the fact that I'm a woman and you want something physical from me to get what I want.
Do you see what I mean? How nothing bad could ever happen to you in a place like this? It isn't that I give a hoot about jewelry, except diamonds, of course. Like that.
But these film students wonder if all these images really reflect women, or are they actually meant to comfort and attract men? One kind of movie that tries to give women what they want is the illustrious chick flick. Masuma describes the typical heroine.
She's someone who can't find love. She doesn't like her job. She is living by herself. Her mother is probably, you know, nagging her about getting a husband or a boyfriend. And she meets someone who changes her life, who she probably doesn't like in the beginning.
That pretty much sums up Bridget Jones with Renee Zellweger.
Continuing with one's life seems impossible, and eating the entire contents of one's fridge seems inevitable.
She's meant to be relatable because she's supposedly chubby, she's awkward and addicted, she's just like us, right?
I'm not a fan of Bridget Jones. I hate Bridget Jones.
I did not think Renee Zellweger looked fat in that movie. I did not think she was a particularly compelling character either. I mean, she just writes in her journal. She's a 40-something-year-old woman who writes in her journal about boys. That's terrifying.
Come on, Bridget wasn't 40 yet. But if a woman doesn't have the career, the shoes, the gorgeous guy, the perfect family, and the fab apartment, is she a loser? And if she's strong and smart enough to get any of these things, the cost is losing something else. What does that say?
The strong woman always has to suffer some way or another.
Fewer women than men apply to the Canbar Film School, even though the acceptance rate comes out 50-50. And as a dean, Cheryl Antonio sees her female students as the agents of change for the generation of girls behind them. But, she says, they really have to do their homework.
If they're not looking for those role models, if they're not looking for that history, if they're not readily available to see themselves in a certain place and won't go looking for it, that's concerning to me.
Yeah, like the movies I watch, of course they have a bearing on my ability to create characters and what I want them to do and whatnot.
For the young directors themselves, how do they move on from Cinderella and Bridget Jones?
I always kind of make out my characters, at least the women, to be very assertive and very kind of bitchy. But that's maybe just because my also personal opinion on how a woman should be.
Like, I think the fact that I'm only working with a couple of models of the women is great. You always hear, write what you know, write what you know, write what you know. And I have a unique opportunity to write what I know and have it not be, you know, the same old thing. I'm kind of excited and intimidated by the opportunity, I guess.
For Studio 360, I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez.
Did any movie characters make a deep impression on you when you were very young? If so, tell us about it at studio360.org. I'm Kurt Anderson, here today with my daughter Lucy, and coming up...
Well, I usually have a friend over when I play with them. I dress them up, sometimes we do a little fashion show, maybe play school and stuff. That's always fun to do.
The American Girl phenomenon. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.